Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host. You know we have some fun every week because we're on a mission. I pray every day, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, celebrate. All right. Well, guess what, folks? We are in for a treat. And you know, this week our show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, home of the comfort technology. So when you get a moment, keeping the show on the road, go to AdvancedLiving.com, find out how plugging in a simple, tiny little item that you can put in the palm of your hand is going to change your life. And speaking of changing your life, oh my gosh, are we in for a treat. For those of you that have ever seen the movie The Greatest Game Ever Played, a wonderful, wonderful, powerful story about the 1913 U.S. Open Championship that was won by an amateur who used some very important techniques. Well, I'd like to say we have him on the show today, but sadly, we don't. We have something even better. We have an amazing gentleman that has gone beyond all of those things and is bringing us today some very, very special things about the spirit of golf and how making a golf game better is actually a metaphor for making your life better. We have a gentleman, Tim Kramer, and he is a life, mental, emotional, and performance coach. And where do you think you're going to find him? Well, go to St. Lucie, West Florida. He is the president and founder of Spirit of Golf. It's a workshop program utilizing methods which help participants, which both athletes and non-athletes, to learn to achieve greater success and joy in golf and in life through leading-edge mind-body techniques. And yes, Tim has been helping and touched the lives of thousands of people utilizing his background in golf coaching and also instruction of golf and in neuro-linguistic programming, transformational communication, hypnosis, meditation, breath work, writing, and martial arts. Yes, the martial arts are the fallback. If you don't pay attention to him, he will beat you up. Okay, just kidding, folks. He is presented nationally and as a keynote speaker at business summits and for corporate and nonprofit associations, and has inspired non-athletes with the same messages he shares through Spirit of Golf. And Tim is a licensed instructor for PAIRS, P-A-I-R-F International, a program which utilizes couple communication skills. Yes, that's right. People talking with each other. Can it be fun? Tim knows how to make it happen. Tim is basically a former mini-tour golf professional, and it competed successfully as an amateur at both the national and state levels, And before getting into a golf career, this is kind of interesting, he worked in corporate communications and as a communication consultant with clients across the country and received a graduate degree in communications from the University of Iowa. Yes, where they have plenty of room for large golf courses. And his passion for teaching, Spirit of Golf, combines his career in golf with his practice as a life performance coach, focusing on interpersonal communication with an emphasis on present moment awareness, right here, right now. And part of that came from studying the stuff with Eckhart Tolle, other folks he studied like Esther and Jerry Hicks, Joan Borisenko, just an extensive list. You may have heard of Deepak Chopra, world-famous holistic MD, many, many others. And it's helped, all this experience has helped him create fun, unique, and entertaining coaching, teaching style that's appreciated by all the lives of the people he's touched. In his first book, Thoughts of the Day, a collection of insights for the soul, is now available. Yes, and for those of you that want to tune in on the internet while you're listening and go to myspiritofgolf.com, yes, oh, you're in for a treat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Welcome, Tim.
Hi, Kenneth. How are you this evening?
I am so excited. This couldn't be more perfect. Earlier this week, I watched that wonderful movie, The Greatest Game Ever Played, about some amazing golf.
Yeah.
This afternoon, I'm partway through watching again the movie Rudy, about an inspired athlete that makes it to Notre Dame and plays on their football team. So, and now we've got you and Spirit of Golf, of course. Please tell us, what is Spirit of Golf?
Well, first of all, I think I may need to hire you for a public relations person after what you just said. It was very glowing, and I appreciate it very much. Spirit of Golf is basically what you described in terms of it's a program through which I present a lot of mind-body concepts to athletes, and I guess might call it conscious athletics, bringing consciousness concepts into the world of athletics, which by and large has not been introduced before. Athletics, as you know, in general has been a very competitive, ego-based venue for people. And what we're doing is helping people to learn skills and develop skills which certainly help their performance not only in their sport but also as human beings, and it's being exceptionally well received. The time is right for it. We're moving forward with Spirit of Golf and athletics like we are in a lot of other areas across the planet.
Wow. Okay, now your background, of course, we've mentioned with in corporate communication before you got involved with your golf career.
Yes.
And then you transitioned into professional golf and then into, of course, your career now in coaching. Can you explain how your background has led you into what you're doing today?
I kind of laughingly say that after undergraduate school, I was out of school for a year and then went back to graduate school and completed it in communications. And then I really traveled the country for a number of years and helped clients set up communication programs for how to speak with their employees. That really wasn't for me in the corporate world, and realized that I had a calling to play golf, and my game was in very good shape. So I thought that I'd some ways maybe left behind a graduate degree and got into golf and whatever. And I kind of jokingly say now that it's come back to full circle, because what I really help people to do is to learn to communicate and essentially and most importantly to communicate with themselves. And certainly the language that we use with ourselves is very critical, the thoughts and emotions that we have. Learning to pay great attention to those and really to empower ourselves is the essence of what Spirit of Golf is all about.
Wow. Okay. And so obviously communication isn't just about on the golf course or the football field or any athletic venue, but, gosh, in the home, in the office, anyway.
Absolutely. We know from the research that the average person thinks 60,000 thoughts a day, which is basically, you know, we jokingly say a couple of things. First of all, there's only 86,400 seconds in a day, which tells you just how active the mind is. Now, we all know that. I mean, we sit there and we just watch our brains go, you know, almost nonstop all day, every day. The thing that happens is that each one of those thoughts has a corresponding emotion, a chemical reaction in the body to each one of those, which means that we're really sending chemicals into our bodies all day, every day. And if we're not paying attention to those signals that we're receiving from the brain, then we've got a body that's basically stressed out, and we're sending some not so good chemicals into the body just from our thinking. And what we find is that golf, for some reason, in particular, it's a wonderful sport in that it really teaches us a lot about ourselves if we're willing to learn from it. And that's what we help people to do, is to learn about what's going through their minds and on the golf course, to pay more attention, to really bring that present moment awareness into the picture so that they begin to start seeing their desire for perfection and their anxieties and their anger and their frustration, but also their joy and the ability to have fun. I loved what you said at the beginning of the show. It's so true that if we could just tap into that joyful energy, we would thrive in a way in golf that most people really don't understand. That golf has that ability to kind of bring out some of the not so good stuff inside of ourselves if we're not careful. So it's really a wonderful sport in that it is, so many of us talk about it being the game of life, but it really is the game of life, because it will show us everything that we want to know about ourselves and a lot of things that we maybe don't want to know about ourselves.
Yeah. Wow. Now, with the spirit of golf, obviously there's a component there for people that golf, and I'm just wondering, are those the only people that can really benefit from what you're teaching with Spirit of Golf?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, the messages that are taught through Spirit of Golf are really universal in terms of what we really talk about a lot more than golf per se, is bringing present moment awareness into everything that we do, so that whether we're in the office, whether we're with our partners, our spouses, whether we're driving down the highway, that it really boils back to the ability to let go of past and not get ahead of ourselves and get into future, that really where our joy is at is in the present moment. And so most of the skills that we teach are designed to bring people back into the here and now, and fully understanding that that's the only place where our joy and our happiness ultimately exist.
Ah, now, I don't know about all my listeners, but I know for me personally, having nice little reminders to help me keep focus, because sometimes on my to-do list or the stuff that comes up list, it wouldn't all be categorized as the most fun I've ever had. And so you have a thought for the day that goes out as an email, and I'm just wondering, can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, we do. There is a thought of the day, and the thought of the day right now goes out to about 25,000 people every day, and it's growing to an international list already. And the thought of the day is really just kind of a little reminder of the concepts that we teach, and we get into everything from present moment awareness to how the ego mind functions and how that gets in our way, and we get into quantum physics. Quantum physics, as a lot of people increasingly are beginning to understand, that the new science of quantum physics is just phenomenal in terms of how this present moment awareness stuff works. And so the thought of the day has been a very, very effective vehicle for getting our message out, and there's no charge for the thought of the day. It's something that I've been committed since I started Spirit of Golf to doing, and it's just exceptionally well received. And then, of course, it appears also on the homepage of the website, and so through the thought of the day, people can get in and look at the website and read a little bit more about about the workshops and the clinics and the philosophies and things like that. But even if they don't, the thought of the day is just kind of a nice little reminder about, bringing it back to the present moment, which is, again, is where our joy and happiness really are.
Yeah. Now, I'm just wondering, does someone go onto your website to sign up for this so that way they're added to your email list? Or
Actually, yes, they can. If they get onto the website, which is myspiritofgolf.com, right on the homepage is the thought of the day, and right underneath it is just, it'll say sign up here, and people just enter their email address, and they'll start receiving them immediately. And, of course, if they don't want to be on it, there's a button that they would click that, they could just as easily get off. So we really make thought of the day just something that is totally a non-sales kind of thing. It's just it's a thought, and so we're not trying to sell anything through thought of the day. We are just putting it out there, and the response has just been phenomenal.
Sure. Now, just for the fun of it, do you have an example of what might be a thought for the day?
You know, I'm not sitting in front of a computer right now, but I want to say that today's might have been about the notion of change, and just how I don't know if I don't remember right now what it is. One of the things that, for example, that we might talk about, I guess I could go to yesterday's, and that did have a little bit to do with the field of quantum physics that we talk about. But one of the things that we hit home a lot is that nothing happens with the golf swing outside of imagination, and that what we're really starting to see through all this new quantum research is that it's not happening outside of us. It's really happening because we have first imagined it and thought about it in the mind. And then as we do that, we literally begin to rearrange the how the body can move, and certainly also what we attract outside of us within the universe. This is quickly becoming scientific. It's no longer just what the gurus and the mystics and the spiritual folks have been saying for thousands of years, and it's kind of fun because now this is what this new science of quantum physics is pointing to, the very same thing, that nothing exists outside of thought, and so that even something as I was going to say simple, I'm not sure it's so simple, but directing the flight of a golf ball has to happen in imagination first, to the point of where when we really start to believe that we're going to hit a good shot and we can picture it in our minds, then it happens. And when we don't believe it and we doubt it, then we get that too. And so, it's nothing new. We're just, again, bringing it into the world of athletics and golf.
Ah, okay. Now, I know the brief amount of time that I spent in athletics, there was so much emphasis on practicing.
Yes.
Practice your swing, whether it was golf or tennis or baseball or whatever it was, get out there. And then I'm just kind of wondering, based on what you're saying, people are putting so much emphasis on this physical aspect rather than the mental and emotional aspects of the game.
They really do, and in fact, most people, if you were to ask them, spend very, very little time on the mind or on the emotions, thoughts and emotions and things like that. And golf is kind of a unique sport that way. It's something where a lot of people who really play a lot, they'll spend 3, 4, 5 hours on the practice range and the practice green, just hitting balls. The illusion of that, kind of, in a way, is that we generally believe that, well, if I just do this with my swing, that I'll fix my swing and then my shots will go straighter and then I'll be happy and my score will improve and whatever. But we ignore kind of the process, the stuff going on behind the scenes, which, of course, is in the mind. And it's why if we gave somebody a perfect golf swing, but they had big perfectionist tendencies, if it was never good enough, they would invariably come back to it not being good enough and find a way to sabotage themselves. even with a perfect swing, because of course it would never be good enough. So it's the kind of thing where it's easier to stand out there and hit balls and think that we've got it or we've found something, because that's kind of the physical proof of what we're talking about. And what we're saying is it doesn't even get to be physical proof until it's first happening in the mind. So that by learning to really pay attention to what's going on in the mind through imagination and through thoughts and emotions and beliefs, when we start monitoring those, that's when we really start cooking on the physical level, and that's where really anything becomes possible in the physical realm of golf. And that's when performance just absolutely shines, because we've now got a properly running mind. And all the great athletes have done this, by the way. All the great ones are already doing this. They probably just don't know why they're doing it, which is fine, of course. But we're taking this now and saying, yeah, you really can learn these skills and apply it not only to golf, but to any area of your life.
There you go. That's so important, is to be able to generalize that beyond golf. And now what I'm wondering, you've made mention, for instance, of someone that had learned to do a great golf swing,
yes,
but had this perfectionist tendency, and that would be one type of mental or emotional kind of stuff that can get in someone's way.
Yes.
And there's so many different kinds of that. I'm wondering when we're stuck in something that's sabotaging us, how do you get that to someone to change their belief?
Yeah, and that's a great question, and ultimately that is what it boils down to. I think that one of the things that we help people to understand is that, if everybody was to do this right now, if you think about the content of every thought that we think about the content, it always relates to one of two things, and that would be either past or future. Both of which we know are really not true, other than past, of course, being memory, and future being something in the future that never really arrives anyway, because, of course, as soon as the future arrives, it's the here and now. So what we really stress a lot is that all of our power, all of our inner power, and even our physical power really is in the present moment. So the ability to get out of past and stay away from future is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves, to our golf games, to everybody that we're with, because we're really being present. We're being present for them right now. We can listen better. We can communicate better. We can just be better for everybody, ourselves included. So that's the big emphasis. So if you take somebody with perfectionism, for example, they're either reliving stories from the past, in an angry sort of way, or they're getting very anxious about what might not happen or what might happen that's bad in the future. And so we work with those athletes then to help them understand the illusion of their thinking, and in doing so, bring it back to the present moment in time, which is, again, really the only true moment in time, but it's also where all of our power is at.
Wow. Wow. That's great. Now, I am wondering for people that kind of want to taste a little bit more, because we may not get to cover everything, would you recommend that they visit the part of your website that has the presentation samples?
The presentation samples are great, and that there's a little bit of everything in there that people can see kind of what we do. And what I do in terms of some of the presentations that I've done and some audio samples, it gives them a good flavor for what Spirit of Golf is and what I do through Spirit of Golf. I travel the country, basically doing workshops and clinics and speaking and lecturing and things like that, and so that's very helpful too. The other thing we've got, we do have a shop page, and on that shop page on the website, there are some products which I feel are very, very helpful. There's some music CDs, for example, which have some brainwave entrainment music, theta wave music. I'm not sure, Kenneth, if you're familiar with that, but I would guess maybe you are, but some music that has some theta wave sound waves in it, and then some alpha waves and things like that. And then there's some CDs and DVDs on there which are also a little more instructional. and they kind of give a little bit more of the philosophy of Spirit of Golf and some of the exercises and techniques and things like that.
Okay, so if someone was going to go to that shop page that was looking for something in general, not just about golf, but their life in general, what would you recommend that they might start with?
Well, I think that the three CDs or DVDs, the CDs, by the way, are just soundtracks from the DVDs, but those really are very, very good. Those were recorded from a workshop and just would give listeners a very, very good sense of Spirit of Golf. Now, the first one, for example, which is The Power of Thoughts, Emotions, and Beliefs, that talks a lot about how the mind works. It talks a lot about the ego and how the ego gets tripped up. It talks about fight or flight, the fight or flight response. You know, I jokingly say that as much as we think as a species we've evolved over these thousands of years, when we walk out to the first tee on a golf course and we're feeling scared, believe it or not, we're sending the same chemicals into our bodies that we did thousands of years ago when we walked over a hill and we started looking around and scanning to see if we were going to get eaten by something. It really is the same fight or flight response when we're on a golf course. Well, now the danger, hopefully, is not as real. I don't think it's as real, although some days it seems like the balls are flying everywhere. But we really do have the same chemicals going through our bodies as we did thousands of years ago. So that gets explained. Go ahead.
Yeah, the amount of golfers that are getting eaten has decreased markedly over the years.
in theory, I'm thinking you're probably right about that. Although ironically, it's kind of funny because, you know, there is a perceived threat there that really kicks into the body, and it kicks into the body in a big way. And so we tense up and we either run or fight in much the same way as we did, you know, as we did when we were being chased by the man-eating tigers. And it's the silliest thing in some ways because, you know, we really on one level can intellectualize it and say, oh, come on, this is just a golf course. But the body doesn't know the difference. And so we're still sending the same stress chemicals into the body that we've been doing since the beginning of humankind. So that's not about to leave us anytime soon. Now, the good news about that is understanding that even, hopefully we can cut ourselves a break because it's very much of a DNA response. It's not something we're consciously saying, nor is it something we can consciously talk ourselves out of. We could sit there till we're blue in the face and say, I shouldn't feel scared here. But until we really begin to train the mind, we're going to have that response. And so it's kind of one of those things where it's not our fault that we're scared out there. It's just very much of a biological response to a perceived threat. Something bad could happen here, so I'm going to get scared. And even helping athletes to understand that, it's very normal to have fear responses while you're playing sports. So the question isn't if we're going to have the fear responses. The question then becomes, okay, I've got them. Now what am I going to do with them? And that's where, you know, that's where the workshops and clinics, we work very specifically on breathing techniques and techniques to bring thoughts and emotions back into alignment with the present moment and all the good things that we do in helping athletes to really bring it back to the present moment.
Yeah, and as you were mentioning that, one of the things that was occurring to me is that in that ancient scenario, there was in a sense, a competition for life. The animal wanted to survive, the human wanted to survive, that kind of a thing. Well, today, while it's not typically at that to the death kind of a thing going on, there is still this competition that's going on, whether it's on the golf course, the tennis court, in the office, around the house.
Right. Absolutely there is. And ironically, it's an energy that when we tap into that energy, we're not going to be real happy because it's almost like as much as some of us thrive on competition, we can also get lost in that in a way that There's nothing wrong with winning. Winning is a very wonderful thing, but in some ways we have to move a little bit beyond that. And as we do, ironically, we win more because we're not trying to, you know, we're not in that competition mode where we're sending a lot of stress chemicals into the body. The whole competition mode anyway, in some ways, gets out into the future, does it not? And so if it does, it takes us right out of our power, which is in the present moment. So the more we can just stay in the present moment, the more we're going to win. And this is what we hear all the top athletes. They already understand this on some level about the importance of breathing in the present moment and just being the whole with golf, of course, it's one shot at a time. And it really is one shot at a time. Which is a learned discipline. It's not something that we just automatically kick in and do. We really, for most of us, we really have to spend time doing that. And ironically, as important of a skill as it is, we don't spend much time doing that.
Yeah. Wow. Now, what I'm wondering, there's an old saying, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how you are with that.
Yeah, fake it till you make it is a great start. One of the things that we do in our workshops, and it's always fascinating, is that we do what we call energy testing, and energy testing, of course, has been done by in biomechanics and things like that for years, and they used to do it as strength testing. We do it more on an energy level, and my young college players in particular, they're just finding this fascinating, because what we do is we take somebody and we have them stand up, and then they hold their arm out, straight out from them to the side, and they hold it there. And then I just do some simple things in terms of moving my hands around or whatever that breaks the energy field, which we all have an energy field. And of course they can't hold their arm up anymore, and they're fascinated by that. And then I'll start asking them some questions about their golf games, and they'll answer the questions. And on some they'll test strong, and on some they'll test weak, and whatever. The point I'm trying to get to is fake it till you make it is a good thing if we believe what we're trying to fake. But because the body's energy system really responds more to belief than it does non-belief, it's important to make sure that the things that we're moving toward are things that are believable. The example I like to give about that is that if, for example, I'm struggling with my putting, or I have been struggling with my putting, well, to just tell somebody to say to themselves, all right, I'm a great putter, I'm a great putter. Just keep telling yourself you're a great putter. It's not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is because on an energy level, we really don't believe that, not for a second. And so it's almost like the list we put on the refrigerator, you know, every year at New Year's, we throw that list on. And how many people ever really get much of any of them done? And the reason we don't is because we don't believe them. So in the example of the putting, what I have players do instead is kind of come up with an intermediate thing that they can believe. For example, it might be something like, you know, I've been working on my putting, I've been working on my stroke doing this, and I really think it's helping me a lot. So that becomes a very believable intermediate step that they can believe. Now, that's a fake it till you make it that I would buy into. But it has to be something that's believable, because if we make it too large of a leap, and we don't believe it, we just can't attract the right energies to get there in the first place. Does that make sense?
Ah, okay. So that old saying about the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step.
Ah, that's a beautiful analogy. Absolutely. And I just believe that we really do have to take baby steps in getting to our goals, but baby steps that we believe. And so we're growing on the one hand, but we're not growing to areas that we can't foresee. Because, again, we know now from all this quantum research anyway that we have to be able to imagine it. We have to be able to picture it. And that's the important part of this process, is we have to be able to believe it in the mind before we will ever get to it, before we'll ever achieve it. So that's why it's so important when we do create our affirmations and we create our visualizations and our imaginations that we can really picture ourselves doing that, that we believe that we can do that. Because if we don't believe it, we will get, we end up always getting exactly what we believe. And so if we don't believe it, we end up getting that too, the non-belief, the disbelief. And so we're whatever we're believing. So we just got to be a little careful with the fake it till you make it thing, because as long as it's believable, that's fine. You can fake it, but you on some level believe it. But boy, as soon as you don't, you're just pushing it away, because you're energizing whatever you truly believe on a deeper energy level.
Right. Now, obviously, during some of your seminars, you share different techniques.
Yeah.
Is some of this some of these techniques available in one-on-one coaching or in other ways that people can, you know, bring this into their lives so that they can do?
Yeah, I do some individual coaching with some of the better higher level players, and it's not that I don't do as much individual coaching as I used to do. It's almost like now there seems to be more of a desire to get me out in front of groups of people, so that I go to a lot of the private country clubs throughout the country, and then I'll work with some college teams and do that.
Okay. Well, that's important. And I'm just kind of curious about how well has your program been received?
Program has been exceptionally well received. We're just for some reason bringing this new stuff into it in a way that it just hasn't been done before, and it's been exceptionally well received.
Wow! And I'm just kind of wondering if you can share any of the. A few of the different stories of some people's progress.
In terms of the progress in terms of...
In other words, people that you've had participating, you know, in some of your events and then some of the changes.
The changes are subtle a lot of times in terms of what we see as immediate change. But what always fascinates people, I think, is how active their minds are. I don't think most people really realize the power of every thought that they have. And if there's anything that people come away from workshops and clinics, kind of the feedback that I get afterwards is that I really never understood how powerful the mind is. That's really the fun part of all this, is just helping people to understand that we can, through the power of the mind, create anything in our lives that we want. And you know this. I mean, this is what you're teaching, and this is what you're sharing with people, is that we really have the ability to become the masters of our lives simply through our thoughts and our beliefs. And people don't realize that. What happens in golf so much, for example, is that it's like I'll hit a golf shot and then I'll respond. I'll hit a golf shot and then I'll respond. Now, if it's a good shot, then I'll be happy. If it's a not good shot, then I'm going to be upset. So we're almost like dogs chasing our tails in that, you know, I'm happy if I hit good shots. I'm not happy if I don't hit bad shots. And what we really help people to do is to understand that it doesn't work that way, that the shots are simply a reflection of what's going on in your mind before you ever hit the shot. So if you're not thinking good thoughts out there, there's no way that long-term you're going to be able to hit very good shots. You're just going to start making some mistakes and making errors. Errors weren't meant to be made, but really because there was flaws in the thinking. And so helping people to understand that by staying focused, by staying positive, by visualizing good things, that's when we begin to really hit great golf shots. And then that's a huge shift in the thinking.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. One of the things that I'm curious about, too, I'm getting this essence from talking to you. With 60-some thousand thoughts going on a day,
right.
On the average. That's a whole lot. And living in a culture that is so based on drama, conflict,
yes.
competition.
Yes.
I know for myself personally, I'm beginning to pay more and more attention to the quality of the thoughts and noticing, by golly, I can be going off upset about something for whatever. Sometimes it's been 3, 5, 10 minutes, a half hour on something, and just swept up in it before
yeah.
I realize, wait a minute here, I'm kind of selling myself down the river of negativity into lots of pain.
Well, we do, and we do that within the body. But the other important thing to understand is that, and this is what we're starting to find too, not only through the quantum field, but also through that we've got this beautiful thing called law of attraction. That's what we begin then to attract into our lives. So that if we are spending a lot of time in negativity, we're going to attract more negative experiences into our lives. And then most people say, you know, well, here's the proof. This is why I shouldn't be happy, because I've got all this negative stuff going on. How can I be happy? And what I would suggest is that absolutely, but the reason the negative stuff is showing up to begin with is because your mind was there to start with. And so we're not paying enough attention. We're not giving enough attention to the quality of our thoughts and whether those thoughts feel good or not. And so in not doing that, then we just play our lives just play out because of our thoughts. But we think it's the stuff that causes us to, that causes us to feel happy or upset. And so it doesn't work that way. It really is the imagination and the thoughts that dictate everything that goes on around us. And every golf shot we hit is really, becomes a reflection of what's first going on in the mind.
Yeah. Wow. And I love it. I'm sure somewhere in your work, what I'm realizing for myself is to kind of step back from some of the busyness of my day.
Yes.
And begin to just observe and notice some of the quality of my thoughts. Because when I'm involved in it and going from one thing to another, and this comes up and that comes up, and
right.
and there's some things that need to be handled that wouldn't necessarily be pleasant, or some circumstances that went on, I'm beginning to observe and notice a little bit more the quality of my response. There's that saying, it's not what happens in life that matters as much as how you respond to it. And of course, to be able to respond to it, you have to notice how am I responding. Am I taking this in stride? Am I upset?
Yes.
And when we're caught up in the midst of it, we can't really do an assessment, because we're just, it's just like the fireman, putting out the fire. It's a little
right.
intense. But
right.
I'm just wondering if there's any suggestions you can make for helping us to be able to learn to step back.
And that's really the essence of everything, isn't it? I mean, because as we get caught up in those dramas again, I would suggest that if you really, of course, noticing that you're in a drama is it's the most important step that there is. It's almost like, yeah, you know what? I'm in a drama right now. But the other thing we can always notice about the drama is every drama we've got, again, relates to past or future. We're somewhere else, but we're not in the present moment. So the skill becomes noticing that we're not, we're in this drama outside the here and now. And then, of course, B, the skill comes to bringing our presence and our awareness back into the present moment. And we really do that. The breath is, that's for athletes, is one of the most powerful things we have going. Because when we focus on our breathing, a couple things start to happen. One is that we focus on our breathing, and secondly, we slow down the mind chatter that would otherwise be spent thinking about something else. So we start bringing more of our focus and our awareness and our presence into the present moment, and the mind's not straying off into scenarios or past or of past or future. and we're less, you know, like hamsters running around on the wheel.
Ah, that's great. Now, I'm just wondering, too, if you have any hints or tips to, because sometimes when we're in the midst of doing something, whether it's wanting to hit a particular golf shot or involved in work or involved in another sport,
sure.
There's that part of us that can sometimes be mind chatter going on about, you know, how to do this, how to do it, how to focus on this, blah, blah, blah. And that can be kind of distracting. And I'm just wondering if you have any kind of things that you have found that helps a person to get out of their mind and just kind of relax and let the body do what they practiced and know how to do.
Yeah, right. And you're absolutely right. We have a culture, and we have a culture certainly that values a lot of mind stuff. That's like a given. We have a culture that very much values critical analytical thinking, which is the same part of the brain, by the way, that we use to learn the golf swing. But once we've kind of learned it and developed it on some level, and that's the challenge, is we have to get out of that part of the brain. And that's where, again, the ability to return to the present moment is the best thing that we got right now. So that we can be monitoring kind of the how-tos, but we're monitoring the level of tension that we're using in those moments. So in other words, as I'm monitoring what I'm doing in my swing, am I just kind of doing it with calmness and flow and you know, just a lot of ease, or am I doing it with a lot of tension and, oh, that isn't good enough, that's not right, I'm a little bit off right here and that's not good enough, and look what happened, now I hit a bad shot. So it's really, again, the awareness that we're bringing into to what we're doing, so that I often say it's not about what we're doing, it's about how we're doing it. And the more attention that we give to how we're doing anything in our lives, the energy that we're bringing into how we do anything, that's the key. So that as we spend more time focusing on the hows, we spend less time, you know, trying to figure out the how-tos and how, you know, the do-it-rights and the things that the ego just thrives on, and but that, you know, never really get us over the hump in terms of performance improvement.
Huh. Wow. Now, when you're saying that, there's a I'm being reminded, Tim, of this saying, no pain, no gain, and to me, that has a lot of undertone of struggle. And
yes.
And yet what I'm hearing from you at some level is that once we've practiced and actually learned a technique, that somehow we've got to get to this place of letting go of this no pain, no gain, and just relax and let it flow.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing with the struggle, and again, that's a real cultural thing. It's almost like a lot of the college teams that I work with. One of the things that I laugh with them about is that if I'm a young college player in general, it's not okay for me to hit a bad golf shot. Because if I hit, and I use bad, of course, relatively, but if I hit a bad golf shot, all right, now not only is it not okay for me to be okay with that, to just, you know, accept it for what it is, which is really what we teach. I mean, full acceptance of whatever happened because it happened. But now I've got to show you that I'm upset about it. So now I have to throw my club, or I have to go into a tirade or whatever. So right away, I have to just prove that I'm not okay with something that, you know, that happened. And it just gets into this kind of funny thing of just, you know, it's what I call the giant pissing contest. Who's the best at it? And we have hissy fits all the time because I need to show you that I'm upset. Because if I don't show you I'm upset, there must be something wrong with me. When the truth of this is that if we could just learn to detach from those emotions, and if we could just learn to calm down with full acceptance that whatever is, because the reality is the golf ball doesn't care. And the second thing is that wherever it's lying is wherever it's lying, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can just go play and play the next shot and play it with, you know, with present moment awareness, or we can get all fired up, and the fired up just never does us any good.
You know, I doubt that this is a part of what you're, you know, what you're teaching, but it might be. I'm, as you're saying some of these things, I'm being reminded of certain religious precepts that have come through the Christian Judeo culture of if a mistake is made, then there should be some sort of punishment or retribution.
Okay. Yeah, there's probably some of that going on. I mean, I don't doubt that a bit. It also, though, taps right into the ego's desire to punish ourselves or to punish someone else. You know, the ego, as I jokingly say, the ego really lives and loves to do one thing, which is find problems. And so if we live in that place of ego and there isn't a problem, well, the first thing the ego wants to do is remind us that there should be a problem. So when we live in that mode, then we're going to have plenty of problems because we're going to attract them into our lives. We're going to attract the problems into our lives when we live from a place of ego because that's what the ego loves to do. So it'll want to go find more and just keeps looking for more. So, yeah, I'm sure that that's what the religious texts are talking about, too. But if we're not careful, we can spend a lot of years of our lives, and golfers probably know this as well as anybody, just beating up on ourselves for things that have already happened. And what a sad thing to do, to think that we would ever want to beat up on ourselves for a golf shot or anything that's already occurred, you know, when it can't be changed.
Yeah.
We can learn moving forward, but it can't be undone. It's just, to me, it's one of the saddest behaviors that I see, we need to move into that place of acceptance, that I gave it my best in that moment, and that's all that I had. And, boy, when we get in that space, again, the performance we cut ourselves a break. And when we cut ourselves a break out there, that's when we send good chemicals into our bodies, and we keep out of the stress mode, and we hit more good shots. So that fuels itself, too.
Now, I love what you're saying. And I don't know if you can confirm this or not. This is a rumor that I had picked up some years ago that, and this goes back, I don't know, 15, 20 years at least, that Lee Trevino, when he was at the height of his game, supposedly he would, of course, in his mind, before hitting a shot, see the shot that he wanted to hit and imagine it. And then after he hit the ball, he would stay in position watching where the ball went. And if it was a great shot, fine, I'll move on. If it wasn't, then I was told that he had trained himself to pause right where he was and in his mind replay that shot that didn't go where he wanted it, replay it 15, 20 times very quickly in his mind, going exactly where it went, where it was supposed to go, so that before he moved on, he had one experience of the ball going somewhere he didn't like, and he had 20 experiences of the ball going where he liked it to go.
Well, I've never heard that one, but it would make perfect sense. And it not only make perfect sense, but that would be the perfect thing to do, because what happens is that the brain, we know now from the brain research, the brain does not know the difference between what is happening right now and what it remembers. And so, therefore, if we change the memory, if we change the memory through imagination, then we really begin to rewire the brain into exactly what we want to have happen. So that would make perfect sense in terms of you let go of perhaps a negative experience and you just turn it into one in the mind that you want it to be, and that is then how we rewire the brain to produce future results, which would be very good results. So what a wonderful skill to do. It also, by doing that, keeps us out of that hairpin trigger response of when we look up and we see a golf shot we don't like. And 99% of the golfers I play with do this. They hit a bad shot, and immediately they just go into an anger upset mode. And it just does us so little good, because all it does is reinforce the pattern of negativity and ultimately creates more bad shots that will come our way because we've just now reinforced it in the brain.
Yeah. And then dragging that pain of the past into the next shot.
Absolutely.
That's how, what is it they call it, a team is in a slump versus
right.
They're on a winning streak.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I think one of the things we have to do is you know, I hear a lot of players out there, and I always get a kick out of this, you know, I walk out to the practice green or whatever and before we're playing and you know, it's like, "Hey, Bob, how you doing today?" And Bob will say, "Oh, I don't know yet, you know, I'll let you know in a couple hours." Like, you know, and it's so funny because, you know, Bob's waiting to see how his game is going to go that day before he can tell me whether he's good or not. Never knowing that if you're not in a halfway positive place, you're just going to attract some bad stuff happening out there that day. It's just that simple. It really gets to be that simple. So
yeah,
it probably
freak people out if you said, "Well, I really don't care how well or you play or don't play. I just love you anyway."
Well, exactly. And, you know, when we can get into that space, that's exactly what it's about. Because you know, the other thing is that I see players all the time. If when they're warming up, they have a good practice session before they play, you know, then they have different expectations for how they'll play rather than, you know, if they have a poor practice, then their mind goes to, "Oh, it's just going to be a terrible day out here today." And, you know, and it is, but for no other reason than they've just talked themselves into it. And it's the darndest, silliest thing. But again, most people do not understand the power of the mind in terms of what happens on the physical level.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the mind, we've blazed through an hour, and it feels like about 10 minutes to me.
The present moment does have that effect, doesn't it?
Would you give your website again so people
sure,
can
I'd be
know
happy
how to
to.
Find
yeah.
It?
Yeah, the website is www.myspiritofgolf.com. All one word, myspiritofgolf.com. I might mention too that we have a special right now of $13 for all of our products. It was kind of it's technically ending tomorrow, but I'll let our folks know and we'll let it go a couple more days. Just for maybe listeners of the show who might like to order some of the products, but normally they're anywhere from $20 to $15, and everything for the next few days then will be $13 on the website, and they can be ordered through the website too. So
Tim, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time to be on the show today, and beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Tune in each week, and go visit myspiritofgolf.com. Make your life better. Tim, thank you. Wishing you all the best. And to my beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. And until we meet again, God bless.
Yes.
And goodbye for now.
Thanks, Kenneth. Let's go and let God.